Hello, Cheryl, and everyone else. It's good to be here with you. And yes, we were on retreat. We were at what is called an enlightenment intensive New Mexico. And retreat ended Sunday, yesterday, around 5. And Jacqueline Eckert and I drove from there to La Vida. And we spent last night in La Vida, and I spent today driving around showing her all of the properties. And she said it was almost as good or better than or as the retreat, what'd you say?
Yeah, at least as
At
good as
least
maybe better than.
as good as the retreat be better than just driving around La Vida. She loved it. And we got back here around 5:30 this evening, and it's 7:30 here at my house now. So we've been here 2 hours. And Becky said, Gina, it is Ken and Rebecca, so hello to y'all. We are here for I Am That. And I am reading from Conversation 1. And if you happen to have the book, I'm on page 2. And I'm going to start with the question, then what am I? Which is funny because at the Enlightenment Intensive, we each had a question that we were to contemplate all weekend. We were allowed to pick the question. We had three choices. One is, who am I? The other one was, am I? And then the third one was, what is love? I think the majority of us picked, what am I? A few people picked, who am I? No one picked, what is love? Did you contemplate, what am I, Jacqueline?
Yes, what am I?
So Jacqueline and I both contemplated, what am I, for 3 entire days. And then we come back, and that's the question. Then what am I? So since we flunked out of the intensive, now we can get our answer. How's that sound,
That
Jacqueline?
sounds good to me.
All right. So here we go. Question. Then what am I? And here's the answer from Nisargadatta Maharaj. Enough to know what you are not. You need not know what you are. I passed.
Me too.
You passed too?
Yes, I passed too.
Maybe someday we'll tell you the story, but yeah, I passed. Maybe tonight I'll tell you the story. We'll see what happens. It is enough to know what you are not. You need not know what you are. For as long as knowledge means description in terms of what is already known, perceptual or conceptual, there can be no such thing as self-knowledge. For what you are cannot be described except as total negation. I did this perfectly.
Me too.
All you can say is, I am not this, I am not that. You cannot meaningfully, this is what. It just makes no sense. What you can as this or that be. Surely you cannot be something. You are nothing perceivable or imaginable. Yet without you, there can be neither perception nor imagination. It's like Nisargadatta was copying me.
Sorry.
I'll tell that story. It sounds like this is going to fit in. You observe the heart feeling, the mind thinking, the body acting. The very act of perceiving shows that you are not what you perceive. Can there be perception or experience without you? An experience must belong. Somebody must come and declare it as his own. Without an experiencer, the experience is not real. It is the experiencer that imparts reality to experience. An experience which you cannot have, of what value is it to you? Really, this is almost exactly what happened to me this weekend. So I think I will just talk about what happened to me this weekend. First of all, doesn't saying that bring on more thoughts, taking it away from pure awareness? Tell you what, I'm not sure what the questions, I don't know exactly how to type them, but look what happened. As I mentioned, we each picked a question we contemplated for 3 entire days. And I jokingly called this weekend spiritual boot camp because it was. The schedule was completely aligned at the moment from the time you got out of bed to the time you went to bed. And you were not permitted any other options. You know, just like boot camp, you did what they told you. And in fact, what they did was they woke us up at 5 till 6 in the morning. Now, Jacqueline and I cheated a little bit. We got up at 5:45. We gave ourselves an extra 10 minutes. But they woke you up at 5 till 6 in the morning. And the first dyad, I'll explain what a dyad is in a moment. The first dyad started at 6:20. So you had 25 minutes to get up, brush your teeth, get over to the room, and then they called it be in position by 6:20 in order to begin the first dyad. And every minute of the day was scheduled all the way until we went to bed at, what time did we go to bed? I never even looked.
10-ish.
10-ish. Okay, around 10, 10:30. Yeah, I never even looked. I just did what they told me to all day long. I never looked at a clock, except when we got up. That's the only time I looked. We did, they said, what, 9 or 10 dyads a day?
Yeah.
Each dyad lasted for 40 minutes. And what a dyad is actually a type of meditation where you sit with a partner and you contemplate, you meditate and contemplate on your question. But then anything that arises or anything that you experience, you actually say out loud so that your partner can receive it. And it's kind of interesting because for 40 minutes, you go back and forth with your partner. First, you're meditating and contemplating for 5 minutes. And then your partner is, and you're listening. And it, you know, it really sounds like, at least to me, it sounds like if you only get 5 minutes, then you got to stop for 5, and then you get 5 minutes, and then you got to stop for 5. You know, it sounds like, you know, you wouldn't actually get anywhere. But actually, I think I took some giant steps this weekend. Those steps are just described in the paragraph I just read, which is pretty amazing. What happened to me, of course, as you know, we already practice awareness, watching awareness, so it wasn't like starting at ground zero as a beginner. You know, when I would close my eyes and ask the question, what am I? I would already have a direction to go in. I knew to go towards awareness. And I think a lot of people, when they go to an enlightened intensive, they don't already have that knowledge. So I think, you know, a lot of people might start, what am I? Well, you know, I'm a teacher. You know, I teach kindergarten. And of course, that's just not where we started. There were several of us, the healing group. There were 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of us, right? 7 of us that are associated with awakening together. 1 maybe isn't in the gentle healing group. The other 6 are. So there were several of us that, you know, practice awareness, watching awareness. In fact, there were maybe all 7 of us in MPP, maybe 1 not, maybe 6 out of 7 in MPP. You know, so it was a group that's really familiar with this teaching. And so we knew right where to go. So I think that they were a little surprised. I think we were a little different than the normal enlightenment intensive students. But let me talk about my experience. So I went into awareness and I began watching awareness. And I don't remember details. I can't tell you like when this shift occurred, whether it was the first day, the afternoon of the first day, the morning of the second day. It's all kind of a blur to me. But what I remember, it might have been the evening of the first day, but I don't know for that for sure. But what I remember is my previous position of awareness, watching awareness, shifted backward. And what I shifted from was being the observer and being to noticing that I'm actually behind the observer, watching the observer. And I remember how it came about. I remember, again, I was talking out loud. And so I was practicing awareness, watching awareness, but talking out loud. And I remember I said, I feel like these inner eyes. I said, not really eyes, but I just feel like the looker, which is what I always feel like when I practice awareness. I feel like the looker And then all of a sudden it hit me, wait a minute, I can see the inner eyes. I can see the looker. There was something about describing as the inner eyes that made me realize I could see it. And so it's like you have the body as the most outward part of what we would define as me. Behind the body, you actually have the mind. Behind the mind, you have the observer. And I suddenly found myself behind the observer. And so that was new for me. And although that's not my experience right this second, I don't know what will happen when I go back into meditation, but it's not my experience as I'm sitting here talking to you. But once I shifted into that space, it was behind the observer, I stabilized there for the majority of the rest of the time that I was at the weekend, except for the very last part of the weekend. Shifted into that and kind of shift majority of here. Yeah, sure. I don't think I actually dropped the mic. I think it might just be in and out stuff happening. So we'll have to watch and see, but I still had the mic from here. I don't know what you guys heard last. I don't know how long you had quiet. but let me just say, again, I'll just say this part. Over the weekend, the majority of the weekend from the time that I became aware of the fact that I was aware of the observer, up until it occurred and I shifted out again, completely different way. When I was in that point of view and still in dyads and attempting to, you know, answer the question, what am I? Remember, that was my question, what am I? I couldn't find anything. One word I used over and over and over again was nothing. Nothing seemed like the most accurate description of all. Because even the observer had turned into a subtle, subtle object that I could see. You know, like you can see the body, you can see the mind, and I could see the observer. But I could not see me. I could not describe me. Everything was within me, I perceived within me, so I seemed to be emptiness. Emptiness was another word I would use. I seemed to be emptiness. One time I described myself, I said, it's like in the Tao Te Ching when he talks about how the emptiness within the bowl is the useful part. I said, I'm the emptiness inside of the bowl. And what was interesting was I became very aware. Of course, we all know that the mind has a sense of me. But I became very aware that the observer has an impersonal sense of I am, is the word I would use. It has an impersonal, like there's still a sense of I'm something. It's personal than mine by far, but there's still a sense of I'm something. I exist. I am. But when I shifted behind the observer, there wasn't even that sense. Although obviously I am. That's a little weird. Yeah, it's kind of hard to say. It sounds friggin' weird. Because obviously I am. But the sense of I am was not there. The feeling of myself as something, even a subtle, subtle something, was not there. So what I found when I was describing myself to my partners, the best way to describe myself was to tell them what I'm. I can see the body. I'm not the mind. I can see the mind. I'm not the personality. I can see the personality. I'm not, I'm not Regina, the name. I'm not Regina. Those are just sounds. Regina. I'm not that. I remember saying to one partner, I'm not the observer, the inner looking. I can see that. It's a subtle object. I can see that. I'm not that. And I remember telling a partner, when I go looking for what I am, though, I can't find anything. I can't find a me. And that was my experience. It's just exactly, that was the experience. At one point, what led me to kind of, and I'll just tell you lightly, I won't tell all of the details because it doesn't feel appropriate, but back out of this was, this was a primarily silent retreat, so there wasn't a lot of talking going on, very, very little talking. So even though there were other people there I knew, we weren't interacting a lot. Well, one person addressed me and said something about how good my books were and how good was about be there with people. And just hearing and having a self, having an image of me, a self image of me, kind of brought me down. Kind of what happened. It was like hitting. Yeah, I hear I'm going in and out again. There's not anything. You were actually going in and out, Cheryl, and so was Jean for me. So it might just be pal talk. I don't know that there's anything I can do about that. Except if you want me to repeat something, I can repeat something. That would be helpful if you type in something you want me to repeat. But that's the best I can do. Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, and Kathy says, well, I'm plugged in, so I don't know what else I can do. Maybe it's the server I'm on. Would you guys like me to try to leave and come back and get on it? Okay, we'll see what happens this time. Let me start by going back to I am that. Now that I've kind of described what happened, it sounds better this time. Okay, good. Let me read from I Am That. Then what am I? Nisargadatta Maharaj answers, it is enough to know what you are not. You need not know what you are. And I'll just repeat that over the weekend when I was in this position of being aware of the observer, I could not tell you who I am. I could not find anything. It's so weird because it was still a body talking, right? But Jamie, I'm teaching. Go see Ron. Go see Ron. Go on. Go see Ron. She says she doesn't want to. She wants to see me. Of course, I've been away for a few days, right? Well, you need to lay down till I finish teaching. She doesn't want to do that either. Who said dogs should have a mind of their own? Come here. All right. Anyway, I know. So I couldn't find anything. That, oh, your guy ended up with kennel cough? Oh, Kathy, I'm sorry to hear that. Is he okay? Is this Moses? Is he okay? Yeah, that happened to Ken Becca's dog as well, had kennel cough. So I'm sorry to hear that. So again, what am I? It is enough to know what you are not. You need not know what you are. So as I was saying, when I was in this position of observing the observer, I couldn't find anything that I was. I mean, I still am, but then I was in that position. I could not find anything that I was. That I could in any way see, objectify, describe. There was just nothing there, even though I was it. Sounds bizarre, but it's true. All right? And so, again, all I could do is tell you what I wasn't, or I could describe myself as nothing, or I could describe myself as empty, or myself as open, or total allowance, the inability to interfere. These are types of words I tried to use, but But for the most part, you're describing emptiness or nothingness, right? So it is enough to know what you are not. You need not know what you are. For as long as knowledge means description in terms of what is already known, perceptual or conceptual, there can be no such thing as self-knowledge. For what you are cannot be described except as total negation. All you can say is, I'm not this, I'm not that. And in fact, even if you listen to the one description I shared, I am total non-interference. Hear how that's also a negation, right? I am total non-interference. You cannot meaningfully say, this is what I am. It just makes no sense. And I have to agree. It would have made no sense to say, I am anything other than nothingness, openness, allowance was okay. I allow everything. I'm total non-interference, so I allow everything. And I had the definite experience as far as the body and the voice go. I had the experience of being created in the moment. Like right now, what I am saying, what I am doing, what this body is saying, what this voice is saying, what this body is doing right now is being created right now. And then by the time you snap your fingers, there's another creation. Everything is so temporary, right? I mean, that was my sense of the body and the personality. It was just a moment to moment creation. And, you know, I've heard Nisargadatta talk about without memory, there would be no continuity. That was my experience. But the only reason it seemed like there was a Regina as a thing was because of memory. If we didn't have a memory of previous moments, if we really were only in this moment, we couldn't have an idea of a Regina as a thing because it's such a fast, fleeting, temporary creation. You cannot meaningfully say, this is what I am. It just makes no sense. What you can point out as this or that cannot be yourself. Surely you cannot be something else. And again, that was my experience. My experience was I was seeing or I was awareness, although I really hated using those words because they're such overused words, but I didn't have any new words for it. I was aware of everything I was still limited to the body's senses. I didn't have any experience of being the universe or anything like that. So I was only aware of what these eyes could see and these ears could hear, et cetera. I remember there was a couple times when there was just this absolute sense. Let me see if I can put it into words. I called myself, I think, maybe something like, I am the receiver. I said, I'm the receiver of what the senses pick up. You know, I'm that which receives it. But again, that's just another way of trying to say I'm awareness, right? But there was this real sense that the senses are picking up information, and then there's this invisible nothingness that receives that information, and I'm that invisible nothingness that receives it. I'm the receiver. Again, I don't know if any of this makes sense because I think it sounds strange.
It makes sense to me.
Okay, Jacqueline, this makes sense to her. Okay, good, good. Was there any feeling? There was no feeling. No, there was nothing. In fact, that was another thing. It had no quality. Like there was a great sense of peace and a great sense of love and a great sense of joy, but I could see all of these things, right? That you became very aware that you could see everything, but what you were was nothing, right? You're nothing because you're the nothingness that sees everything. You're the nothingness that's aware of everything. But you yourself have no qualities. So, yeah. So, how am I doing on time? Oh, 2 minutes. Let me read the rest of the paragraph very quickly then. You are nothing perceivable or imaginable, yet without you there can be neither perception or imagination. That was another thing I was very, very clear of. But I'd heard the words ground of being before, but they didn't make any sense to me until I was in this position. It was absolutely obvious that without what I am, which by the way is what everything, it's what Jamie is. You know, I mean, that was clear too. It wasn't just this Regina thing. But without this nothingness that I am, nothing could be. Like, I totally understood the screen analogy, like we're the screen that the movie plays on. It was very, 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 very clear that if awareness wasn't, nothing else would be. It was also very clear that awareness is not attached to this body, that this body could die. But there's, you know, awareness coming out of that Jacqueline body, awareness coming out of this Jamie body, awareness coming out of all those bodies. So existence can continue. It was very, very clear to me that that this Regina thing is temporary and is not what I am. Although I couldn't talk at all about what I am. How weird. So you observe the heart feeling, the mind thinking, the body acting, the very act of perceiving shows that you are not what you perceive. Can there be perception or experience without you? The answer is no. An experience must belong. Somebody must come and declare as his own. Without an experiencer, the experience is not real. It is the experiencer that imparts reality to the experience. I was very aware of that, that everything was in my light. Awareness is light. Everything seemed real in this moment because awareness is here in this moment. An experience which you cannot have, of what value is it to you? I don't quite understand that question that he ends with. I don't understand what that question has to do with what I am. But the rest of this paragraph describes my experience over the weekend, so it's kind of exciting to return to that. And I'm sorry y'all weren't able to hear it perfectly. And Jamie, did you want to say something about what you are before I leave? Because you seem to be talking a lot. Okay, now she's silent. All right, see you guys tomorrow at Gentle Healing. Oh, can I read it again, please, the last sentence? Yeah, it's a question. An experience which you cannot have, of what value is it to you? I mean, I understand, I guess, the question, but I don't understand what it has to do with what I am. That connection I'm not making. So it's kind of a funny way to end the paragraph in my mind. Maybe someday I'll get it. All right. Bye, y'all.
Bye.